I'd like to continue thinking today, this morning, about what we were thinking about in the 10 o'clock hour, about evangelism. I'd like for us to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We begin reading with verse 31. Well, I suppose maybe we'll start with verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box, a vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wipe his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head. Excuse me, that was the wrong word. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and began wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with a perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said to her, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say on, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. But she loved much, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And they who were reclining at table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The prayer of my heart, and I trust of many of your hearts, is that as we mature and grow and are edified in the faith, that the people who know us and see us and work with us and live near us and associated with us will take knowledge week by week, month by month, that we have been with Jesus. Every time I go to Birmingham, Alabama, I think of an illustration that I heard about something that happened there probably a generation and a half or two ago now. A dear saint of the Lord who's now with the Lord. I remember he had a real beautiful white beard. Dear man of God, some of you knew back in those years perhaps. He and his wife were in the Lord's work and they were itinerant servants of the Lord. And she traveled with him because he was up in years and his health was not best. And they had gone to this home and stayed there for 2 weeks while he was ministering in the local assembly. And then had moved on to somewhere else. And they had a little boy about 7 or 8 or 9 years of age in the home. He became rather attached to this servant of the Lord because he spent quite a bit of time with him, played with him and so forth. One day he came to his mother and said, "Mommy, when is the man that acts like Jesus going to come back? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the young people that observed us for a week or two or three could speak to their parents and say, that man or that woman acts like Jesus?" The goal of every believer should be just that. That our attitudes, that our desires, that our ambitions, that our goals, that our aim in life should be His representative right here upon this earth. But I'd like to remind you of something, my dear friend, that if you attain to do this, it will be rather costly to you. Because it is quite possible to be active in a local church fellowship and go through all the routine without really acting a lot like the Lord Jesus would act if He were here. Haddon Robinson, the man that wrote the book Lifestyle Evangelism, made this statement in the foreword. I beg your pardon. Joe Aldridge wrote the book. Haddon Robinson wrote the foreword. And Haddon Robinson made this statement. The first two sentences of the foreword. That if Jesus Christ were to return to earth and live as He did 2,000 years ago approximately, He would not be allowed to serve on the official board of most evangelical churches. Because he would have disqualified himself by the companions that he kept. And as we saw here in this portion of Scripture, and as you'll see in many other portions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Pharisees and the scribes and the legalist gave our Lord much, much, much trouble because they did not believe in those who profess to be godly spending time with those who are godless. Because one of the basic principles that we teach in the lifestyle evangelism is that we spend time with unbelievers in order to build a relationship with them. Now, in our Lord's day, if you were invited to a home there in the Middle East to eat a meal, as he was, you did not serve the meal the way we do today.
For the most part, you would eat your meal in a semi-prone position. You were almost half at ease in a prone position. And your feet were not under the table, your feet were away from the table. And when a rabbi or some outstanding person of reputation was invited in to lecture or to visit or to teach, on occasion a few outsiders would be allowed to come in and stand off at a distance and benefit from what this well-known rabbi or this teacher was going to teach. And so it was not at all unusual for someone else other than the immediate dinner party to be at this function. And so that is how the lady got in. J. Sidlow Baxter says concerning this lady, as recorded here in Luke 7, there are four things that this lady could have done with this perfume. Number one, she could have sold it and used the money for whatever she wanted to. Two, she could have used it on herself. Three, she could have shared it with friends. Four, she could have done just exactly what she did. She could have spent it on the person of our wonderful Lord. Now, one of the reasons that she was looked upon as a great sinner was the fact that she was not a Jew. And she did not keep the law. And anyone who was not a Jew and who did not keep the law was despised and looked down upon. And if a Jew even touched one of them, then they were considered dirty themselves. And so, the Jewish people have been taught not to have anything to do with people who are not Hebrews and who do not keep the law. So Simon figured it all out. He said, well, he's not a prophet. There are probably several reasons why he had invited him. One reason he'd invited him to, perhaps was to entrap him. Or he could have been just out of curiosity. I'd like to get better acquainted with this man. So he said he's not a real prophet. If he'd been a real prophet, he would have recognized right away that she was not a woman of God. She's a woman of the street. So forth and so on. And so he did not have the kind of a heart of love that we would need to have if we were going to spend time with those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. In the day and age in which we live, I regret to say, very, very few Christians know what it means to really get out there and become part of those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do not misunderstand me. I'm not talking about going out and doing something that is doubtful, or that's wrong, or that's sinful, in order to try to reach somebody that doesn't know the Lord. What I'm talking about is what we mentioned a while ago. Finding some type of an activity, some type of a common ground that will enable me to build a relationship with this man and his wife, perhaps, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we suggested in the 10 o'clock class, in the lifestyle evangelism teaching, we encourage the Christians to write down 3 or 4 or 5 names of friends they have that do not know Christ. And many times, very, very few of them are able to write 2 or 3 names. Most of the people that we socialize with, most of the people that we travel with, Most of the people that we go places with, most of the people that we have in our home are those who are inside the flock, who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're content, we give out a gospel tract or two. If we just say a word here and a word there, and that's about it. And we believe in evangelism, unfortunately, by long distance. And if someone is rather active in evangelism, sometimes we are rather quick to criticize them because, after all, if I'm not doing anything, it kind of shows me up if somebody else is doing something. You remember the man that came to D.L. Moody on occasion and was criticizing him for one of the methods that he was using in his evangelistic crusades. And Mr. Moody, in his very gracious way, said, "Well, sir, what method do you use right now?" He said, "Oh, well, I don't have a method I'm using right now." He says, "Well, brother, I like the method that I'm using much better than the method that you aren't using." And I think it could be the same with some of us sometimes. Now, when you and I start spending time with godless people, because the Holy Spirit has laid it upon our heart, and the Lord has led us to this man and this wife, and perhaps to this man then in the business arrangements that we have where we work, and we've taken him to lunch, and we found out that he likes to play handball. We're playing a little handball with him one or two times a week. Those who are not taking time to spend time among those who know not Christ will find some way to really criticize you and give you down the country. I'm reminded of the boys who were playing ball. You know, it's more fun to play ball in a yard than it is in a ball field, really. The only danger is, sooner or later, you're going to get some neighbor's window, you know, if you play ball in a yard. Now, there's three or four blocks down the street, there is a ball field. But, you know, it takes too long to go down there. So the little boys were playing ball in the yard, and sure enough, one of the balls got over to the neighbor's window. Well, of the four or five boys that were playing ball, there was one of them that was really too little to play, and so he wasn't getting to play. His name was Joey. And so the big brothers came and said, "Now, Joey, listen, you be quiet now. And don't be telling anybody about who broke that window." He says, "In fact, Joey, listen, if you won't tell anybody, we'll give you this baseball." "No. Joey, tell you what, if you won't tell anybody who broke the window, we'll give you not only the baseball, we'll give you this bat." "No. Joey, listen, if you won't tell anybody, we'll give you the ball and the bat and this new glove." "No." "Well, what do you want?" He says, "I want to tell." When we're not doing it ourselves, we get kind of itchy when somebody else starts doing it. I would love to hear that somebody at Bethany Chapel that attended the training sessions Friday night and Saturday were getting criticized because they were having unconverted people into their home for meals. I'd love to hear about somebody up here getting criticized because they've started playing handball with somebody twice a week because they didn't know the Lord and they were trying to build a relationship with them. I'm sure that some of you have seen the film, The Gospel Blimp, or you've read the book. If you haven't, you ought to. If you haven't seen the film, you ought to get a hold of it and look at it. My friend, Joe Bailey, just not too many miles from here, wrote the book. And it's blessed my heart many times as I've looked at it. I know of a couple in South Florida that God has greatly used to win people to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't inside of a church building. It was inside the spacious home that God has given them. And they've been able to go out and reach out to those who were hurting. And I've been there sometimes on Tuesday nights when it was my joy to present the gospel to 65 and 70 young adults in their home. And there are people today scattered all over the world because of the witness of that man and his wife from Palm Bible Chapel in North and South Florida. I know of another church where on the West Coast where man's wife was practically kicked out of and she was the pastor's wife. They tried to kick out of the church because she was spending time with a woman who at one time was a prostitute. The lady was gloriously converted and brought to Christ and is today living as a living testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read this sentence right here that I have. I want to read it two times. Our Lord saw sinful people not as they were, but as what they could become by the grace of God. I'll read that again now. Our Lord saw sinful people not as they were, but as what they could become by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 10:30. If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then we eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. Now, of course, all of us who are here today are aware of the fact that the Apostle Paul was greatly criticized by the legalists and by his enemies for how he did things. And I want to suggest to you right now that if you get a new touch from the Lord and the Lord really begins to use you to do what are known perhaps novel things in a novel approach and a new approach to spending time with unconverted people, you will be misunderstood and you'll be criticized. But remember, who is it you'd really like to please? The Lord, of course. So let's be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves and admit that apparently we do not really enjoy being with unsaved people. Now, let me explain something. We're not supposed to enjoy some of the things they do. But you see, you can love the lost without loving what they love. And the reason that we do not spend time with them many times is because we're so uncomfortable even in their presence. They offend us. Their language irritates us. Their goals appall us. Their appearance embarrasses us. Their humor makes us cringe. And their vain use of our Lord's name angers us. It would be much easier for us just to avoid them. Let them go on and spend eternity in hell. Unless we want to be like our Lord and love them. And love them. And love them to Him. And I'll tell you what. If you're here today and your heart is touched with the desire to have the kind of love for people that don't know Christ the way He did, I want to tell you something. He'll give you that kind of love. But the only way you can do it is when you spend time with Him. If you get alone with the Lord and ask Him to give you His kind of love, He'll do it. And people will start seeing you and say, listen, something's different about you. What's happened? You don't have to tell them because they'll know that you've been with Jesus. When you fall in love really with the Lord Jesus, I don't see how you could love Him and not love the people that He died to save. Now, I do not know what method the Lord is going to use you in to reach others. God does not call all of us to evangelize the same way. Praise the Lord. We have different personalities, different backgrounds. But I know one thing. If you'd like to know what method the Lord will use you in to win others to Christ, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and it upbraideth not. You'll get along with the Lord. Ask Him to speak to you. And to give you His will and His purpose and His design and His approach in your life, He'll do it. And people someday will rise up and call you blessed and thank the day when you ever came into their lives, because their lives are entirely different now, because you brought Jesus to them. I pray that this will be true, that God will teach us whether we ever even, by the way, you can read the book Lifestyle Evangelism. I understand you have two copies in the library. If you never take the seminar, it's all right. If you read the book and get in your Bible and ask God to help you to have the kind of love that your Savior had. And when He gives you that kind of love, and you seek Him, He'll give you the approach as to how best you can contact this neighbor and this neighbor and this person at work and this person at work. And eventually, you're going to have the joy of pointing men and women and boys and girls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.